Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 347 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag has the full list of what that Tampa fan got for Tom Brady's 600th touchdown pass. At 12:30, Clemson's brutal season continues, and more from around college football. In a mere minutes, we update the Texas Tech opening and continue cleaning up NFL Week 7. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Tuesday. We are into Baylor week for you Texas fans, Cowboys fans. You're back at it with the Vikings on the board. Only a couple NFL teams are off this week, and we have an interesting slate of games. That Thursday nighter just got more interesting today, and there's a couple other stories there. Big week in terms of that game. We also have plenty of college stuff to get into, including this Texas Tech job update. And, Trey, we talked yesterday about the Art Briles question. I asked you right away because I figured let's just get the conversation out there in case Tech is that. I guess we should give maybe.
I feel like you're taking false credit for that one.
What's that?
I feel like you're taking false credit for that one.
What do you mean?
You asked about Art Briles?
I'm saying as soon as we had the story, I immediately asked you, hey, what about the Art Briles thing?
Okay.
Because we talked about it before.
Okay.
Right? We talked about the fact that there's not an army, but there's a group of people reportedly behind the scenes at Tech that kind of like the idea. So the thing today would be, if you're a Texas Tech fan, whether you want to feel good or bad about this, the report that's coming out that a lot of people are talking about today is that Pete Thamel of Yahoo says he will not be, he's not expected to be in the mix. So, can I give him a little?
That's good.
I'm not going to give him too much credit, but
yeah,
a little bit of credit.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting because just 2 hours ago, The Athletic and Bruce Feldman, and I only know this because CB tweeted at me with this, when Bruce Feldman said there is some support for Art Briles amongst Texas Tech brass. There's also a lot of concern about the potential blowback if they try and hire him.
Mm.
So we have dueling insider sources right now with Pete Thamel and Bruce Feldman.
I guess it depends on what he means by brass. Does that include Hocut? Does the AD want to go down that road?
He doesn't even say some Texas Tech brass. He says among Texas Tech brass. And he says does say some support. So I guess the word some is in there. So it's at least a conversation that they're having. And ultimately, I don't want to sign off on this idea. I would understand if they were that desperate to try and bring Art Briles aboard, but I don't think they need to be that desperate right now. I feel like they have two good candidates staring them in the face. I value Traylor at UTSA more than I do Sonny Dykes at SMU, but Sonny Dykes makes a ton of sense for that program and for that university for obvious reasons, too, because of who his dad is. So I just don't think you necessarily need to stoop to the level of Art Briles to get back to relevance in that sport because of the shifting dynamic within your own conference, too. Yeah. And that conference is about to be a lot easier to win, I'm guessing, after next season when Oklahoma, and to a much lesser degree Texas, are no longer a part of the equation.
That kind of you bring up there's multiple layers in this if you consider the guys. So we talked about Jeff Traylor, UTSA, and now Sonny Dykes, of course, the SMU coach is being mentioned. So everything's about to change for Texas Tech and SMU in terms of conference stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tech's going to watch their conference change around them. SMU is going to do the same thing. Neither are moving conferences, but their conferences will change. SMU is not going to have to deal with Cincinnati every year, which that one's got to be tough. UCF.
Huge.
UCF can be pretty tough depending on the year. And then whatever you want to think about Houston and BYU. BYU's not in their conference, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you look at Sonny Dykes, do I want to still live in that version of the AAC, or do I want to go to this new Big 12 and, you know, and see what's there? So the name Sonny Dykes comes up, and then the other part of it, when it comes to Art Briles to remember, is that according to, if you remember, I guess it was months ago now this happened, but in some of the final findings, final reports, and all of that, there are those that represent Art Briles that would tell you that it is that the man is free and clear to be hired.
He is.
And they are writing. So then the question is, do enough people in red and black believe that? And are they willing to play the forgiveness card and, you know, nothing so dirty it can't be made clean, and Art was never... Because if you go through it a certain way, there's a group of people that would tell you that Art Briles never specifically did anything wrong, and this didn't happen, and that didn't happen, and nothing was ever proven, and they'll lay it all out for you. And at the end of it, his agent will say, hey, my client is ready to coach football, and now, hey, I mean, a high school. Trey, a high school...
And O.J. was found criminally innocent of murdering two people, Chad.
If you let him coach a high school team, then clearly he can't be the kind of monster that you wouldn't want coaching your college team.
Have they done an in-depth report on what the 2 years were like for Art Briles at Mount Vernon, or year, however long it was?
That's a good question.
Be interested to talk to people in that community to see the sort of impact that he had.
And I'll continue to ask the question of timing, of why did it have to be now? Was Matt Wells like is he some kind of lunatic where you thought if you told him, if you did the Ed Orgeron thing and said, look, man, at the end of the year, you're done, that wasn't good enough and he had to leave?
Matt Wells, although saying he got screwed over is maybe a bit of an overstatement because he is still getting paid millions of dollars to no longer work at that job. But Matt Wells strikes me, if nothing else, as a sincerely good dude. He did kind of get screwed over in this whole thing. His football team is 5-3 right now. It's not like they were 2-6 when he got fired. They were 5-3 on the verge of qualifying for a bowl game. So this is clearly about Texas Tech feeling like they need to make this move right now to ensure that they get the guy that they have their sights set on. That's why whether it's Art Briles, Sonny Dykes, Trailer, somebody completely different, I feel like they know exactly who they want, and they may be a little ways down the road in making that deal as well.
Yeah, this is here's an interesting text for you, Trey. I'm from Mount Vernon. The community supported and loved them.
Supported and loved them?
Loved them.
The Briles?
Yeah, him and the team.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
You're one person. That's why you go to a community and you ask a bunch of people. But you're one person, and your opinion matters the same degree as whatever other people exist in that community.
This says, do you think Art would get another shot sooner if he would just admit that he did something wrong and actually do something to try and help similar victims of what happened when he was at Baylor and 100%, actually show remorse?
100%.
Think so?
You would get that opportunity. Look, it's not a difficult equation here. We as humans... we screw up. Some of us screw up in much larger ways than others. And this is obviously an enormous screw up that Art Briles had at Baylor, even if he was just outright negligent and really didn't know what was going on, which I don't believe that, by the way. He screwed up big time, but he has not taken his portion of the blame for those terrible atrocities that happened on that campus under his watch involving the players that he was most responsible for. And any apology can't come with any caveats. It can't say, well, I'm sorry, but, or I'm sorry, but here's my side of things. It just has to be, I'm sorry. I screwed up. I apologize. Hopefully it is sincere enough that he's reached out to victims to personally apologize to them as well. That's something, I mean, it feels a little bit exploitative if you do that, but that's something that could be brought up also, but he won't do that because, I don't know, maybe doing that could potentially cost him some of the millions that Baylor gave him to go away, the $20 million payout or whatever it was for him to no longer coach there.
Yeah, if they are going to go down that route, they're going to have to find a way to explain how they would get there to a lot of people.
But it's as simple as I'm sorry. Like, even if he was more complicit than this, it's just I'm sorry for not realizing and doing more. That was an enormous screw up on my part, and that's something that I have to live with for the rest of my lives, and you do now as well. And my heart breaks for that.
Yeah, maybe if he'd had a different, I go all the way back to that captain of the ship answer that he had long, long, long ago, because I think if he had just said, I'm the captain of the ship and it's my fault and I'm sorry and stopped, it might have been acceptable. But as I recall,
but he added that having said that or something.
Right. He added some, I think that was a little more qualified. I'd have to go back and double check all that. If you're the Texas Tech brass, that's what you have to do. You're going to have to go back through that whole process if you really think that Art Briles is the way you want to go there. But so again, Pete Thamel saying he's not expected to be in the mix, but others saying maybe, and who did you mention? I'm sorry. You mentioned
Sonny Dykes.
No, the reporter who said...
Oh, Bruce Feldman.
Feldman, thank you. That Bruce Feldman is saying that that he's hearing that there are top brass folks at Tech that may still be interested in Briles. Sonny Dykes, Jeff Traylor might also be in the mix there. Texas Tech getting ready to go to Norman. That must be fun. Good grief. I think it's one of the defensive coaches that's going... Oh, no. It's Sonny Cumbie that's interim coach, right? Sonny Cumbie's going to have to go be interim coach in Norman against what I'm guessing is going to be a pretty focused Oklahoma team. I'm guessing Lincoln Riley's going to be all up in their business this week after doing that against Kansas.
I mean, focused or not, they may just not be very good on offense, so perhaps they'll be playing close games the rest of the way, and if you're doing that, you do open up the possibility that you're going to drop one or two before it's all said and done. This may be one of those weeks where Texas Tech, the players just come out fired up because they feel like their head coach got screwed over. The rest of the coaching staff is in place. I wouldn't be surprised to see Texas Tech come out and play a good game this weekend.
And we'll see. Right. They might. There may be a little pride coming out of them. They're, what, 5-3, I think, going into
5-3.
Into this week. Again, it's weird. It's a strange, that strange timing. We'll see why. There may be a name that comes up. There may be, once we see how this plays out, like you said yesterday, Trey, maybe it is. They want to get out in front of everything. They want to get out in front of the wave of hires, but we will see. So there's your Tech job update. Let's jump into our spec set piece because we want to talk some NFL, starting with last night's game. Here we go.
The spec set piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. The biggest saves of the match start at Specs, official partner of Austin FC. Specs, the fun starts here.
So last night we talked about the desperation for both sides, New Orleans and Seattle. It felt like a desperate game, but a desperate, ugly game, a desperate bar fight, nasty kind of game. And there was a little weather involved, a little breeze, a little some of that crazy wind they can get out there. But overall, Trey, it was just bad football. But the Saints ended up getting it done, and the Seattle Seahawks have now lost 3 in a row for the first time since 2011. And they've lost 3 at home to start the year for the first time since 1992. I was in high school the last time Seattle lost 3 games at home to start the year.
I didn't watch a second of this game last night, Chad. I needed Lockett to get -2 points. And boy, he got close for me, but unfortunately I still lost this week. 13-10 does not look like a very exciting ball game when you realize who the quarterbacks are on each side. Was it as brutal a game to watch as the final score would indicate?
It was pretty brutal. Now, the very beginning had a moment because Seattle, the first score with a couple minutes gone was a little swing pass out to DK Metcalf, and then he went, was it 80, 85 yards?
Wow.
Down the sideline for a touchdown, and to watch that guy hit full speed is unbelievable. Like, Tyreek Hill is his own kind of freaky fast, but that truck going that fast,
yeah,
it was incredible. I mean, just hit the arms and elbows and those big hands and the strides. Everything about it was, it wasn't like when Jerry Rice would run down the field and you'd think, look how smooth. No. this was a truck that had been wrapped in barbed wire crashing through a glass factory. Like, he was just, it was so wonderfully, like, angry and violent and fast all at the same time. But after that moment, I would argue nothing in that game was really worth watching the same way that was.
DK Metcalf really looks like a machine from the Terminator movies when he moves at top speed.
Yeah. Oh, it was so impressive.
Not human.
Things uglied up after that. Seattle's kicker missed a couple big kicks. Now, the good news for New Orleans ended up being this rookie kicker, since they just had to put Lutz on the IR. They got a kid named Brian Johnson, not the lead singer of AC/DC, but a kicker that went to Virginia Tech, and a rookie hits the winning field goal, so that's cool. Jameis Winston did just enough and was clean enough to win this game. The story, Trey, for those fantasy owners that have him was Kamara. As a running back, he was below average. He was 2.6 a carry, and you wouldn't want to talk about it. But as a receiver, he was a badass. 10 catches, 128, and a touchdown, because Sean Payton realizes that's his only real true weapon right now, and he's moving him all over the field. He's running him in motion all over the place, swinging passes out of the backfield. Let's put him in the slot. Let's put him out wide. Hey, Kamara, can you throw? Can you punt? Can you kick? They're trying everything with him. So 41 was the guy to watch.
Hey, Steve Sarkisian, can you maybe take some notes there?
Yeah, right.
And look at all the different ways that they use Kamara. That's how you need to be treating Bijan Robinson the rest of the way.
Not a bad idea. You're right. So that he was the star last night. So that's how we round out week 7 in the NFL. And so New Orleans maybe is a team now. It gets them at 4-2. They play the Bucs this week. And we'll see. The other star of the game last night is DeMario Davis. The linebacker for the Saints was all over the field last night. He is a beast for them, and he's going to be a guy to watch when they face Tampa, because he's going to have to deal with so many different things. Figuring out what Brady's plan is, but also if Gronk is back in the game, when does he deal with him? If Antonio Brown is back, just all those different things. So the Saints at least made themselves somewhat interesting. And Seattle, I mean, Trey, as much as their fans would like to get mad at him, get upset or whatever, I mean, we all know what this is. Russell Wilson can't play for a while.
No.
So it's pretty easy. He's Geno Smith trying to get this done.
He's close to coming back, though, isn't he? Like a couple weeks away, maybe?
It may be 2 or 3 weeks away, something like that.
Okay.
I think that's kind of, and I'll be honest, I didn't hear any timeline discussion last night. They may have mentioned it on the broadcast, but so he gets, you know, obviously whether he can play or not is huge. Seattle goes to whatever that is, 2-4 after the game. So you got that going on last night. And then the other big story we wake up to in the NFL is this Thursday's game, short week, Green Bay, Arizona. Yesterday we said that the DC for Green Bay can't go because of COVID, and he's going to do virtual stuff and try to help him, but he can't be there. But now, Trey, it's Devontae Adams that may not be there.
Yeah.
So based on what we know on your NFL COVID cues, we are able to determine that he is vaccinated. What we have not been able to determine from stories I'm reading is, does he have symptoms? Has he tested positive? Or is he just on the COVID list because he's a close contact? So he needs two negative PCR tests 24 hours apart to be able to play, which would mean clock's kind of ticking there, right? He's going to have one or two opportunities to pull that off between now and then, if you're going 24 hours separated. So right now it would look like that Aaron Rodgers is not going to have his favorite target, which could obviously affect that game. So Arizona may have an even better opportunity at home to stay undefeated.
So he hasn't been announced as out yet.
Not officially.
Just that he's on the COVID restricted list.
On the COVID list, yes. He's been put on the COVID list, and they haven't gone into other, you know, situations there. Here's what we also know about the Packers. This could affect the game. The team itself has announced, LaFleur announced, that they have changed their protocols based on, I guess, these stories, and they feel like maybe there's maybe going around the team a little bit, I guess. They've changed their protocols to go back to daily testing, and everybody's required to wear a mask at the facility. They're doing that for this, I guess, couple days leading up to the game.
Well, the daily testing, in a way, does make sense if you want to make sure that if somebody does have it, that you can pull them out of their respective group as soon as possible. Depending on the test, you may want to go women's tennis final and do best 2 of 3 if you get one negative test, maybe take a couple more just to make sure that that's the case.
Right.
The masking thing is, it's becoming laughable because the masking thing has been overvalued over the last 20 months, and I don't necessarily believe that's going to lend that much to them containing a spread as much as them being more diligent with the testing.
Yeah, so that's how they've changed, and it'll probably be the opposite once we get to the game because Aaron Rodgers will pull off something crazy, but this game feels more and more like an Arizona opportunity to me. The more we hear.
Oh, no question.
Right.
No question. I mean, Devontae Adams is his favorite receiver by far. And he's established decent rapport with some other guys over the last couple of years now. But Devontae Adams is still the dude. He is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. And we know the big stink that was made a couple of years ago about them not bringing any more guys in for Aaron Rodgers. They've tried here and there and haven't used enough draft capital, in my opinion, in doing so. But he has other reliable dudes, but nobody who can come close to performing the way that Devontae Adams does. This is a huge loss for Green Bay. They're just going to need a little bit more out of their defense, like what they got last weekend, where the defense was really good in the red zone against the Washington football team.
Yeah, I think probably what we'll have is Thursday morning, one way or the other, you'll probably get that indicator where they'll let us know if, I mean, I guess you could even push it into if you did this afternoon or if, you know, tomorrow midday, if he was able to get a negative test. And then 24 hours after that, Thursday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you got those 24 hours apart, then, yeah, he could go. So we may get into Thursday afternoon and not find out, or maybe it's more like a Thursday morning if they got a positive test and he couldn't and realized they couldn't get the two negative tests, and let's let everybody know, yeah, he's out.
So funny that the NFL set this strategy back in June or whenever it was. I mean, if he got vaccinated 6 months ago, I think the protocols that are in place for him aren't being stringent enough because you're assuming that he's able to clear this virus faster than somebody who has been vaccinated long enough ago actually does, according to the science. But that just makes for a more nuanced conversation that is a very difficult thing to do in this day and age.
Yeah, and with the NFL, all you can do is use the clues to figure out whether or not they're vaccinated.
That's it.
Yeah. The last thing the NFL will do is tell us when they might have been vaccinated.
Like, who was it? Gosh, I saw who was it that I saw in a press conference on Sunday night who was wearing a mask in the same room with the press? I wondered, like, is that guy not vaccinated? Is that why he's having to wear a mask in his conference right now?
Might be.
Or is he doing it as some sort of show of whatever? Gosh, who was it? I feel like it was a Bengals wide receiver or something. Anyhow, it was
Chase or Higgins?
It may have been Chase. It was one of those mental notes that I made where I'm like, perhaps he's not vaccinated, because otherwise why would he be wearing a mask in there right now unless he was being told that he had to?
That's a good point. All right, so week 8 coming up in the NFL. It will start with that great matchup on a Thursday night with Green Bay and Arizona, but it could be affected, obviously, if Adams doesn't play. So keep your eye on that story. We'll keep you updated. Up next, college football week 8. We continue to clean it up, including Clemson's big loss and their apparent slide this season, plus Texas and Baylor getting ready for it on a Saturday morning. Longhorns did put that depth chart out yesterday afternoon, or maybe it was early this morning, but we've got it now. We'll let you know if there's any changes on it coming right up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Great song. All right, Trey. Live Zeppelin.
Shameless Podcast Promotion Tuesday, Chad. New episode of Books on Pod out as of this morning with Dr. Cassandra Quave. She is the author of The Plant Hunter, A Scientist's Quest for Nature's Next Medicines. Cassandra's story is a fascinating one. She grew up with some serious disfigurations that led to her having one of her legs amputated at a very young age, and was in and out of the medical system as a kid all the way through early adulthood. And that sparked an interest in understanding why medicines work the ways that they do. She had some enlightening experiences on a medical trip into the Amazon as a teenager and somebody in her early 20s. And that led to her trying to combine Eastern and Western medicines and understanding why plant medicines work the way that they did, the mechanisms of those, and how she can possibly find new medicines that can help bring these two different worlds together for the sake of humanity. So check that conversation out at booksonpod.com.
A lot of people like to talk about the other three parts of that band, but I heard some good John Paul Jones in that one, man. All four of those guys are so, so good.
Yes.
What a great track that is.
And by the way, because it's the Plant Hunter, I'm playing Robert Plant all day today.
Oh,
we're going to make it really easy
Robert
on myself.
Robert Plant. I like that. All Robert Plant. Does that include solo stuff, or are you just going Zeppelin?
I could go solo. I could go with No Quarter. We could go with some of the other duets that he's done over time.
I was always a fan of, what was that album called he did? The Hurtin' Kind was the song, and I can't remember what the album was called, but I always liked that one. She's the girl in my dreams. She's the girl in my mind. Used to play me for the fool because she's the hurtin' kind.
Mm.
Bow, not a great little riff. Oh, I love that album.
That's a good one.
Manic Nirvana. That's what it was called. I think the album was called Manic Nirvana.
Okay.
Yeah, Robert Plant as a solo artist. That was good stuff. All right, so we'll have some more Robert Plant for you. Shout out to Zeppelin there. Great track. Whole lot of love, kids, if you haven't heard it. All right, a lot of stuff going on. Remember, when we are done, you got RBKD at 3. You got Longhorn Blitz Podcast at 7 because it is a Tuesday. Longhorn's getting ready for Baylor. We'll get into that here in just a second because the depth chart is out there. But, Trey, as we clean up college football from the weekend, Longhorns didn't play, but we hit a lot of it yesterday in terms of some close wins for top teams, some blowout wins for top teams. One of those games, though, that some people thought could be a show-off game for maybe a guy that could end up in New York. Maybe. In a weird year. And right now this guy is on a 6-1 football team. They went in ranked, barely. Now they're kicking up the ranks a little bit. But Pitt got it done at home, took advantage of the opportunity. They beat Clemson by 10. It was a no-doubter. And Kenny Pickett went 25 of 39, 302, two touchdowns, and his QBR was 90.5.
Okay.
Well done, young man.
Yes.
Well done.
And the quarterback on the other side...
Oh, he wasn't good.
With the Dr. Pepper endorsement, the national Dr. Pepper endorsement, ends up getting benched in this game. Now, he ended up coming back in at some point in the fourth quarter. I missed if the backup got hurt or if Dabo was just resigned to putting him back in for the sake of trying to rebuild his confidence for whatever their next game is. But, boy, Clemson is in a bad way right now. And it's fascinating to watch because it's not like there is a lack of potential talent behind the backups or behind the guys that they've lost these last couple of years because they continue to get top two, top three classes year in and year out. But for whatever reason, it is not working for them right now. And it looks like it's something that it's going to take until next season for them to fix.
Yeah, there's just going to be...
It obviously starts with the offensive line, which has not been good since game one. Georgia, which has made a lot of offensive lines look bad, made theirs look silly, but they're really also lacking playmakers on the offensive side of things. ATN was obviously a big deal. All the receivers that are now cutting their teeth in the NFL, they did great things for them. Even getting T. Higgins back from that that neck injury that kept him out for 2020, that has not been enough for them so far.
I mean, I think we could compare the wave of what they lost with what LSU lost recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
To lose that entire wave of talent,
right?
To lose the quarterback, the running back, the receivers. I mean, it was all of it, all at one time. A couple years ago, Clemson withstood the loss of a badass defensive front, and a lot of people thought, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they can't. There's no way they... And they kept it going, but you bring up a great point. When it's offensive line, I mean, I'm watching. We'll get to it with Texas and Baylor this week. This is just a lot easier game to deal with when you can block people.
Right.
And Clemson does not do that the way they want. Uiagalelei has not had those opportunities. I mean, he's at 34.4 on the QBR this past weekend. He's been bad. Don't have the weapons around him. Haven't blocked that well. So, yeah, they're in a, you know, they're in a down year. They're 4-3 right now, sitting right where the Longhorns are. And certainly nobody in Clemson thought that would happen. And Pitt has one loss and Wake has none. Mm. That's what the ACC looks like right now. And by the way, is that right? Wait, is Wake? I can never remember. Pitt is in the coastal side. I think Wake might be on the Atlantic side with Clemson. Is that right?
We could get a Wake and Pitt ACC championship game.
Yeah, it's either that or they're both in the coastal. Let me double check that because I have a tough time. I know that Clemson's in the Atlantic, and I know Louisville's there, and Florida State's there, and I know North Carolina, Duke, Pitt, Virginia Tech, the Virginia schools. I know they're on the other side, but I can never keep it straight. Let me double check this, Trey. I'm right. Yes, Wake is in the Atlantic. So if they kept winning, I don't believe they play each other in the regular season. I'll double check that. But they would meet in the championship game. So that's what you have to root for if you actually want the ACC to mean something. Root for those two teams to keep going. Let me just make sure there's no regular season matchup.
Those are the two teams you listed in your who's still left in the playoff hunt breakdown from the ACC.
They have Duke. Here's Wake's schedule. Duke, North Carolina, North Carolina State, at Clemson, and at BC. That's what they have left.
Okay.
So they don't play each other until they would get to a championship game. But congratulations to Pickett. Also congrats to Pitt for deciding to wear the right uniforms these last few years. Going back to the Dan Marinos, the Tony Dorsets has been such a great move. Those beautiful, beautiful yellow helmets.
I liked that.
God,
yeah.
It looks good. And the Pitt, who was it? Was it Dave Wannstedt that took them out of that? Who got to Pitt and decided they needed to be Pittsburgh? We're going to be Pittsburgh. We're the University of Pittsburgh. We don't understand this Pitt stuff. What do you mean you don't understand this Pitt stuff? It was good enough for Dorsett and Marino and a national title back then in the 70s, but it's not good enough for you now?
It'd be like Tennis Tom saying, hey, guys, I prefer Thomas going forward.
I want to be Tennis Thomas.
Well, I'm sorry. That's Town Lake, and you're Tom, and you're Pitt.
Tennis Thomas is tougher to say, too. I don't want to be saying that. That's way too tough to say. So week 8, cleaning up from college football. We get into week 9. You will get some ranked matchups this week. You get Michigan, Michigan State. You get Ole Miss, Auburn, and you get Penn State, Ohio State this week. 3 ranked matchups in college football.
Which one excites you the most?
It's Michigan, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, certainly on an excitement factor, if Auburn and Ole Miss light up the right kind of game, that could get exciting. But I want to see Michigan, Michigan State matter for the first time in a while. Paul Bunyan's trophy, 11 a.m. kick. Let's go. Let me see that Michigan State defense that's supposed to be badass. Let me see Michigan show up against somebody that's not a lesser school. That's in East Lansing, which is always – that game's great anywhere, but I love it when it's in East Lansing. It always feels like there's a little extra edge to it. So I'm really ready for that game.
Mel Tucker wins this game over Michigan this weekend. He may have just coached his way into that LSU job.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how quickly he went from Colorado to Michigan State. He is not afraid to bolt one good opportunity for another better opportunity.
I was thinking of that the other day when somebody was talking coaching stuff. If you need to know how to rent a car, take a plane, or eat in pretty much any U.S. city, ask Mel Tucker, because I think my man's been there in the last 5 years.
And also had an Irish goodbye the previous opportunity.
That too. A lot going on in college football. Texas gets ready for Baylor this week, an 11 a.m. kick. And yes, it is Baylor that is ranked in this game and not Texas on Saturday morning.
And they should be too, by the way. I'm not laughing because that's ludicrous. Like there's some argument against it. Baylor has been the better football team this year. They've played better recently, and they've actually beaten a ranked opponent, too.
And I'm looking across their offensive line, Trey. I see 4 seniors and a sophomore, and that sophomore is backed up by a senior. And in rewatching the West Virginia game, where, by the way, they pounded West Virginia.
They did.
They blocked so well in that game.
Mm-hmm.
All these plays, all these ideas had so much time to develop. You go back and you're rewatching it, and like, man, that really did take a while for that guy to drag all the way across the field. Why was he so wide open? Well, first, it was a pretty good design. And secondly, Bohannon had all day.
Yeah.
Because they're blocking so well. They get after it.
You want to talk about a team that'll make you pay for not having gap integrity, which is something that has really harmed the Longhorns these last couple of games. Baylor will absolutely do that. Ebner is a stud at running back. He's also really good in special teams as well. And count me amongst those who have planted my foot firmly in my mouth for what I was saying, anti-Jerry Bohannon as a thrower. When he's given time, and he has been given time because the offensive line has blocked so well in front of him, he has made teams pay with his arm, and he's still really good with his feet, too.
Every time I see it, a highlight of them, I don't think the arm is that good. Then I've now watched more full game action. It's not an elite arm, but it's livelier than I thought it was.
Right.
It's got a little more than I thought it did.
And the offensive coaches, who is the OC there?
Grimes.
Grimes, that's right. Grimes has done a great job of understanding what his strengths and weaknesses are as a thrower and placating to those, which is what you want out of a coordinator. Understand what you have and mold your plan around that talent.
They got some dangerous dudes. We'll be talking about them throughout the week. Texas and Baylor, 11 a.m. kick on Saturday, 7 a.m. pregame for Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light. And remember, the watch party is Pluckers, South Lamar, and then that's where Trey and Kevin will be for postgame as well. So come see them at Pluckers, South Lamar. Up next, we'll jump into the crap bag. Yesterday, we told you about the guy that gave back the 600th touchdown ball from Tom Brady. And a lot of people talking about, wait a minute, he could have gotten so much. He actually did get some stuff. I'll give you the list of what he gets for being the 600th ball guy coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
That is unbelievable. I just, A, if I'm ever in the hospital and you're about to make the decision to unplug, play me a series of songs, and that's one of them. And then B, Trey, I just don't know if I absolutely trust anyone who tells me they hate that song.
Yeah.
I don't know if I absolutely trust anyone that tells me that they hate rock and roll by Led Zeppelin.
There's a few Zeppelin songs where if you say you're not crazy about that song...
Ooh.
I get it. I understand. Stairway to Heaven, yeah, that's a slow-moving song.
Right.
It takes forever. I understand you not liking that one. The first two songs that I've played here, Whole Lot of Love and Rock and Roll, there's something wrong with you if you don't at least like those a little bit.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I forget about Whole Lot of Love. Not because I don't think it's a great song, just because, sometimes it finds its way into the weeds for me. Every time I hear it, though, I'm reminded. Rock and roll has been one since day one. It always puts me in a good mood. I hear something different every time. The layering. I'm really into Page's part of that song right now. I used to listen to it only for Bonham because I'm a drum guy. And the drums are masterful, as always. But then just the way it all ties together, man, rock and roll is so good. Led Zeppelin 4, kids. If you haven't listened to it, grab it. You can get through Stairway to Heaven pretty easily. You can just skip now. It's all digital. But Rock and Roll and Black Dog, I would highly recommend. Misty Mountain Hop's a great song on that record, too. Some good stuff in there.
Yeah, it's not the same record, but Immigrant Song will get played on this show a little bit later on today.
That's a great tune.
And Bronwar Stomp. I don't know how you say that.
Bronwar Stomp's good.
Bronwar Stomp. Uh-huh. There you go. That's maybe my favorite Zeppelin song.
It's a great song. Great, another great Zeppelin riff. Tell them why you're going with Robert Plant-ish stuff today.
Yeah, Robert Plant. The key word is plant. That's because a new episode of Books on Pod is out as of this morning with Dr. Cassandra Quave. She is the author of The Plant Hunter, A Scientist's Quest for Nature's Next Medicines. Really cool conversation in which she is trying to unite the worlds of Eastern and Western medicines through understanding the mechanisms behind why healing plants work and have for so many years. It's a great book. The conversation is pretty sweet as well. And you can check it out at booksonpod.com.
Yes, indeed. All right. Lots of football on the board. We'll get some football thoughts from Jeff Ward coming up at the Jeff Ward Show. He comes in every Tuesday about 1:05. Get his thoughts on Texas. Maybe he has a Waco story for us from his time. at Texas. It was,
hopefully.
He's a big fan. He's practically the mayor of Waco. Just wait. You'll find out.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was like swimming naked with a co-ed in the Brazos River or something on a Friday night before a game.
He's probably got a Brazos River story.
Based on his story from down in Mexico from last week.
There you go. We'll find out if he's got one of those. Right now, though, let's jump in the crap bag, and I'll admit it right now. I just might be jealous. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Hey, by the way, we do have to correct the pronunciation of Bohannon's first name. Apparently, even though it's spelled G-E-R-R-Y, it's Gary.
Oh, it's Gary Bohannon.
Gary Bohannon.
My bad.
So it's the Jevon Snead deal, which looked like Javon, but somehow it was pronounced Jevon.
That's cool. You play that well, get ranked, we'll call you whatever you want. So Gary Bohannon will be the quarterback for Baylor. The quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is Tom Brady, and he threw his 600th touchdown pass on Sunday. Mike Evans made the mistake of giving it to a fan, and yesterday we talked about that whole story. Last night Brady went on with the Mannings and talked about it and said, yeah, the guy gave up his leverage. I mean, he should have held on to it for a while. Seemed like he was kind of kidding, Trey, but they did release a list of things that this guy ultimately gets. So I want you to imagine, whoever you're a fan of in the NFL, just imagine this happens to you, okay? So they go back to the guy, and he is going to get, Tom said last night that he's gotten him some kind of Bitcoin.
That's a really good gift on its own.
Like, and Tom did that on purpose because Tom is now associated with a Bitcoin company, so that's a good way to tie those in.
There you go.
He got him some kind of Bitcoin, but here's the other stuff. He gets two signed Tom Brady jerseys, two of them. He also gets a helmet. I'm assuming it's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer helmet. It doesn't say it's signed, but he gets a helmet. He also gets a Mike Evans signed jersey. It's like we talked about yesterday. Both players should be involved in this. He also gets a pair of Mike Evans game-worn cleats. He also gets a pair of season tickets for the remainder of this season and the entirety of next season.
Where are the seats?
I don't know. Good question. Not sure. But season tickets somewhere in Tampa Stadium. He also gets, and there's four home games left this year, if you're wondering. So that's, what, 12 games of season tickets plus the preseason and one or two games there. And he also gets $1,000 to spend at the Bucks team store.
Hmm.
Did he get a good deal, Trey, or should he have held onto the ball?
I need to know where the season tickets are and how much Bitcoin he's receiving.
What if he's inside the 20s season tickets?
Inside the 20s? What row are we talking about?
Let's say first deck. Let's say he's a first decker between the 20s, and he's no more than like 25 rows off the field.
25 rows off the field? That's a pretty good deal. How much Bitcoin is he getting?
That I don't know.
He's getting a full two Bitcoins.
Okay.
Those are worth $61,000 a piece right now.
Is that right?
And that value is probably going to keep going up.
Okay.
Seems
like a pretty good deal.
Seems like a pretty good deal. Yeah. I would have no issues with that deal because didn't he give it back for wasn't he asking less to give it to give the football back? Yeah. And they gave that much more to him?
Yeah, because at that moment, all they were telling him was, dude, we'll trade it out for a ball. My understanding is they just traded him 2 for 1 at that point. We'll hand you 2 footballs.
Yeah, that's what you had said yesterday.
You hand us the one. At the moment in that, because obviously the equipment guy doesn't have the ability to say, hey, Mike, can you sign a jersey for him? But later, I guess the players got involved, the team got involved, and they realized, hey, let's take care of our guy. You know, let's go ahead and take care of our guy here. So the fan's name is Byron, and now Byron gets all of that because he happened to be the guy.
I really hope Byron, because I saw him being interviewed by Andrew Siciliano on the NFL Network yesterday. I hope he gets the one other thing that he asked for, and that's a round of golf with Brady.
Ooh, now that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, because he's a fan, then he also has some value, just sort of intrinsic value to this.
Sure.
A signed jersey means more to him than it would to someone who's not a fan of the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, if he wants to throw in, at some point you got to stop. But, yes, maybe that's, hey, what, is there any way we could do this? You know, they'll maybe look into it. But there you go. Because it is also true that this man did absolutely nothing to attain the position. He just happened to be the guy.
That is true.
So it was total luck that he ends up being the guy. So his luck now gets him the season tickets. I'll just tell you, I'm not a season ticket guy That was a nice little touch they threw in. Because that also means, Trey, that for the rest of this season and all of next season, if I'm Byron, I don't have to pay to park either. I'm assuming a parking pass comes with that.
Nope. He's got to pay for parking.
No, he's a season ticket holder. That's going to be automatic.
Parking is its own beast, Chad.
How dare you? How dare you? Can't make it pay to park. So that's the story of what the 600th football guy got from Tom Brady, Mike Evans, and the Bucks. I think that is pretty cool. Only in sports can game-worn cleats be an important thing. If you try that in live, hey, here's some shoes I've been wearing all day. That does not work. But when it's Mike Evans, cleats, yeah, that works pretty well.
Oh, and it's very rare that we have a theme for the crap bag and where are we at in society. But we'll cover a different element of this story coming up in an hour with where are we at. Because somebody who's very popular is in the process of getting 2021 right now for something maybe a little bit machismo, but ultimately pretty innocuous, was said on the broadcast as it was happening, or I guess right after the fan got the ball and there was some bargaining going on back and forth for what he should get for handing over the football. And now, of course, the wokest among us are trying to cancel this guy.
Yeah, you know I'm going to go into that conversation with you at 1:45 because that's one of my guys talking about one of my guys. So I got to be sure all my guys are protected. That's coming up at 1:45. Up next, it's our guy Jeff Ward coming in every Tuesday to talk football with us. He's got the 6 Minutes of Football podcast for you. He's got the Jeff Ward Show, jeffwardshow.com, if you want to check it out. We'll get his thoughts on Texas and Baylor. Don't move. This is The Horn.